plate a potential nugget.
And just to maybe pick two archetypes, right, in the people that you train. On one end, you have world-class triathletes. On the other end, you have time-starved CEOs and founders in the Valley and mm-hmm. in other places. So in what ways is coaching these two groups similar, and in what ways is it different? Give us a sense of how you think about coaching in each of these two situations.
Sure. Well, I think it's interesting because we sort of have our visions of what it takes to be a really successful CEO and a really successful professional athlete. But one of the things I'd first point out is that toughness is not a differentiator. And so people that are successful, it's a prerequisite to be tough. And that's the most obvious thing. What we see with working with these types of athletes and these types of CEOs is there tend to be a set of very common traits or personality traits or ways of thinking that ultimately develop success for them. And we bucket those into four main categories. The first is that they all operate within a framework. And these are the most obvious piece, but they all have a North Star vision. They all love a journey. They have a massive intentional focus for consistency. And so when we think about that, all of these people are habit driven. They have big picture thinking. So they have a great ability to come out of the weeds, both the professional athletes and the CEOs. But the thing that I find, the two elements that I find very similar always, are that there is a thirst for coaching. And so both populations really require, cry out for accountability and feedback, but have humility to be coached. And I think that's a really interesting one because people think about successful people as just being great leaders driving from the front. But in fact, leaders need leaders, and they tend to be the most humble and thirsty for knowledge, really understanding the why. And the final component is that they are what we call at Purple Patch change able. And we understand that the journey to performance is never linear. And so there has to be this amazing resilience and adaptability within both populations. When we think about the professional athlete, the interesting thing is in many ways, those athletes are looking after or looking for world-class performance, manage it within much more chaos, which is typically life, including family and travel and other aspects such as that.
Got it. Let's pick up with one of the pieces you spoke about, Matt, people being change-able, right? Mm-hmm. And you spoke about that being a common thread across elite athletes and successful leaders. How do you suss that out? You know, as you think about the people that you take on at Purple Patch, what sort of people do you say no to?
Well, I think that firstly, I'd say we have to acknowledge a couple of things. The first is that change is hard. And in fact, even when change is a positive thing, it's a real challenge for people. And you mentioned at the end there, how do we say no to people? How do we suss out the question? How do we suss out whether they're changeable? I actually believe that developing adaptability and resilience, which is the heartbeat of being changeable, is a learnable skill. And so the first component is really looking at not, oh, do they have these characteristics and are they just there, similar to some God-given gift or something like that? But instead, what we really look at is, do they value coaching? Do they have the ability to rise up and create perspective? And are they immersed in the positive component of requiring accountability and feedback? And so really what I look for people is, do they have humility to be coached? Is this someone that is a person that leads with, and I always say this, do you lead with more questions than just trying to provide the solution? And a common phrase that we all know nowadays, a growth mindset. But is this athlete, or particularly as this CEO, do they want to understand the why behind it? And people that want to just follow a plan, that just want to be spoon-fed, that doesn't suggest a characteristic of adaptability. It's simply box checking. And therefore, I would say not only are they less equipped to become a great CEO and executive, they're certainly not going to improve in the sporting component of life in the way that they could.
Got it. So I guess if I were to make sense of what you said, a certain curiosity towards, the next level of detail, not just the sticking to the plan or just blindly following it, but really showing a healthy curiosity towards what's behind it is what I'm picking up.
Exactly. That word curiosity is a wonderful word. And, you know, in an athletic sense, imagine if one of your listeners was training for Ironman Goa or Ironman Turkey, one of these triathletes that are becoming more popular in the area, and all they want is a plan. Just tell me what to do as a central baseline characteristic. Mm-hmm. That's box checking. And the characteristic that is going to separate those that follow a plan and do well, because it's a smart plan and they excel, and the people that are going to really thrive, really shine, are the people that actually look at the plan and say, how does this fit into my life? What's the meaning? What are we looking to accomplish out of this? So that ultimately from the plan, they're creating mission and saying, I understand what my purpose is. And from there, a whole thing start to become unpacked. And really what it creates within that person is empowerment. And the same applies for a CEO. And if a very busy executive comes and just says, great, I'm going to get a coach, give me the fairy dust, give me the magic, that's never going to be ultimately the most successful relationship, because pure excellence and development in any area in life is going to come from intrinsically the person. And any coach is going to drive them by setting the path, not just and helping them, guide them along the way, not just saying, this is what you should do because I said it.
I wanted to pick up on one of the things that Matt says that is seemingly contradictory, but that's something I've noticed as well. When he speaks about some of the common traits across CEOs and elite athletes, he speaks about intentional focus for consistency and being habit-driven. But later he goes on to say that people that get the most out of the program are not those that bake these habits by checking boxes, but those that are able to reflect, ask deeper questions about how this fits into their mission, and are clear about the why behind the training. This reminds me of my earlier conversation on the podcast with Indian mythologist Devdutt Patnaik.
Habit is a bad word in Indian philosophy. It's a bad word. Therefore, you are continuously... Another word for habit is conditioned. I'm conditioned to do it. Conditioning, that's a Pavlovian response, right? A dog has a habit of salivating whenever the bell rings. And the West has made it a virtue. Action without thought is habit. Repetitive action without thought is habit. And if you look at many of the cultures in the West, they are like domesticated animals. At a particular time, they'll get up and run. At a particular time, they'll get up. So there is, it's this kind of a, they are on a treadmill all the time. And this is seen as virtue. You know, driving in the car with a coffee in your hand. Nobody sees in America that this is tragedy. It's a tragedy. You can't enjoy your coffee. You can't enjoy your drive. You have glamorized slavery. You have glamorized slavery. And nobody sees it because you're all the Gurujis in their white coats with their chin, the fist on the chin photographs, you know, those photographs that you see, are telling you, therefore it must be right. Nobody's questioning, what is the habit? And habit has been somehow projected as a good thing. Indian thought is all about awareness. It's all about awareness. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you not doing what you're not doing? And once you're aware, then you realize what is of value to you and what is not of value to you. So you are not in a habit, then breaking habits becomes difficult. And then breaking habit becomes, there are good habits, there are bad habits. Habits are good and bad depending on context. You know, so you will find people behaving. That's why I always find, you know, when expats come to India, they have a tough time because the habit is suddenly in this new context, they don't know. Because, oh my God, there is no place to run. There is no place to, oh my God, they don't have this thing. Because the habit, right, they become the animal. You have become like an animal. And habit really goes to the lower part of your brain, not the upper part of your brain. And your habit is about avoiding life. You do habits like... It's an addiction.
It's like autopilot.
It's an autopilot. No, and it's addictive. Like, I have a habit of writing. But it's addiction. If I don't write, I get withdrawal symptoms. Which means I've trained my body to be in pain when I don't do it. And to get pleasure when I do it. And I'm not aware of it. I'm just doing it mechanically.
In my experience, I find that successful leaders have an interesting combination of habits that give them the momentum and progress in a certain direction. But also... have a certain sense of awareness and mindfulness to be able to zoom out and reflect and break out of the habit if it doesn't make sense in a certain context. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more content. You could visit the curated playlist section for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant for you. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you find this content purposeful, please rate and review wherever you consume this content. It will help others discover it. To receive updates on new content at the podcast, please sign up at playtopotential.com.